For SearchSecurity.com, I'm Bill Brenner. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly on this final day of February 2007. This week, an apparent Sun Solaris worm highlights the dangers of using Telnet, and security luminary Howard Schmidt joins me for a discussion on the role of government versus the private sector in protecting cyberspace. But first, Secure Computing Corp warned Tuesday that attackers are using a new variant of the Storm Trojan horse to insert insidious URLs in blogs, intercepting traffic when visitors try to post comments. The malware is dropped onto the targeted machine as a rootkit and attempts to capture and modify web traffic via the operating system. Secure Computing was working with law enforcement officials Tuesday to curtail the malware by shutting down its hosting server, which appears to be located in New Jersey. The variant is also using server polymorphism, automatically changing its code whenever it's downloaded. This allows the malware to escape traditional signature-based antivirus sensors. When the attacker sees a command that looks like the user is posting a message to a blog, they try to intercept the traffic and inject their own malicious message in there. The line being inserted asks readers to look at a, quote, fun video. If a victim clicks the link, however, he or she is directed to a website where more malware can be dropped onto the victim's machine. Once the machine is infected, it can be used to run keyloggers, cause a distributed denial of service, or blast out spam. Users can protect themselves by avoiding untrusted websites and viewing videos on a site like YouTube instead of doing so on random web pages. The Storm Trojan first appeared in January, spreading in emails that looked to exploit concern about European storms that were wreaking havoc across the continent at the time. Next, it won't become a monster like Windows-based malware of the past, but an apparent worm exploiting a recently patched Sun Solaris flaw serves as another reminder to disable Telnet, security experts say. Sun Microsystems patched a design flaw in the Telnet daemon of its Solaris 10 and 11 operating systems 2 weeks ago that attackers could exploit for unauthenticated remote root logins. Tuesday, researchers at Lexington, Mass.-based Arbor Networks began to detect hosts scanning for Telnet servers. Jose Nazario, senior security engineer for Arbor Networks, said the worm attempts to log into targeted systems as the user's LP or admin and execute a bunch of shell commands. It's very old school, he said, but then so is Telnet. For many security experts, the mere mention of Telnet can be a cause for heartburn. The protocol allows virtual network terminals to be connected over the internet and is incorporated into a variety of popular operating systems, from Sun Solaris and Red Hat Enterprise Linux to Apple's Mac OS X. It has long been considered a security risk because usernames, passwords, and all subsequent commands are transmitted as easily exploitable plain text. We'll be back after this message.
So you're looking for good reference books on information security, but it's so painful trying to figure out which ones are worth reading. And you're sick and tired of spending time on all those tedious e-com websites trying to sift through all of those anonymous user reviews, right? Well, here's a word of advice. Check out SearchSecurity.com's Information Security Bookshelf. SearchSecurity.com has compiled an impressive selection of reference book excerpts from leading information security experts, including Ira Winkler, Gary McGraw, Kevin Mitnick, Joel Dubin, and many more. And if you want more than an excerpt, you can download a full chapter for free. Check it out today at SearchSecurity.com/bookshelf. That's SearchSecurity.com/bookshelf.
And we're back with this week's Security Spotlight. Howard Schmidt's career in defense, law enforcement, and corporate security spans nearly 40 years and includes a stint as vice president, CISO, and chief security strategist for online auction giant eBay. He most recently served as chief security strategist for the U.S. CERT Partners Program for the National Cybersecurity Division of the Department of Homeland Security, and also served President George W. Bush as vice chair of the President's Critical Infrastructure Protection Board and as a special advisor for cybersecurity at the White House. He just released a new book, Patrolling Cyberspace, Lessons Learned from a Lifetime in Data Security, and he recently joined me for a discussion about the book and about why he believes the private sector has a bigger role to play than the government in defending cyberspace. Howard, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
Let's start with your latest book. The focus is on lessons that you've learned in your career. What would you list as the top three lessons and why?
Well, I think the first one is that as we advance in technologies, criminals will continue to exploit the great benefits we get from the technology and turn it into something that they can benefit from. The second thing, that the responsibility does not lie solely on the government or law enforcement to protect people from these sort of criminals and the ones that are out there trolling the internet for everything from child pornography to identity theft, but we basically have a responsibility also in doing so. The third thing that I've learned is that as we build products and new services and new technologies and new hardware, that basically they must be built with taking into consideration some of the things that bad guys will do with this. I think you couple those three and we go a long way to reducing next book 20 years from now that looks back and says, gee, you know, we've come a long way and solved a lot of these problems.
Now, you served for a time as a White House cybersecurity advisor, and as you were aware, some in the last couple of years have been critical of the U.S. government for not doing enough to safeguard the nation's IT infrastructure. Knowing what you know, is that fair criticism?
I don't think it's fair criticism at all. As a matter of fact, I think it's quite the contrary. The period of time from 1997, when we first had the President's Commission on Critical Infrastructure Protection, all the way up to the release of the National Strategy to Secure Cyberspace, as a matter of fact, Valentine's Day, February 14th of 2003, the focus has been industry owns and operates the vast majority of the critical infrastructure or the IT environments that we work in on a day-to-day basis, that they have to recognize there are interdependencies that they have to each other across various sectors, and thirdly, that we as a nation depend on them. And the interesting piece about this, it doesn't go into the government telling people how to run their systems or how to secure their systems. Mm-hmm. Industry knows how to do this and make the necessary steps to move forward and do so. And in that vein, I'm extremely pleased what industry has done. I mean, industry has put not only a lot of effort into development of products and services, but also they've also dedicated the specific personnel to work with the government to make sure the government is aware of the progress that's being made so the government doesn't have to worry on our behalf as citizens that these things are being ignored. The awareness now and the execution in private industry is higher now than I think it's ever been before in our history.
Now, what about the government's efforts to safeguard its own computer systems? You know, we've seen examples in the past year, issues revolving around the theft of laptops, for example. But also, there have been some out there who have said that the government isn't doing enough to secure its own systems separately of what's being done in private industry. What are your thoughts there?
Well, there's a tremendous challenge. One, with the resources that are allocated, in other words, taxpayers' money, to go to these agencies, and you compare that what's being spent in private industry, there's a fairly good disparity. There's also disparity on the resources and what people can pay people. I was testifying before Congress one time and was asked the question is, how do they keep people like myself, when I left the government in 1997 the first time, how do we keep from losing talented people? And the answer is you just really can't compete with the private industry as far as the benefits and the salaries and things of that nature. But what really incentivizes a lot of people is a good, solid work environment that makes, particularly in security, that makes security personnel feel that they are contributing and making a difference. And until such time as the government systems and the government agencies recognize to invest more in their people, invest more in their technologies, and that they should and are susceptible to the same sort of attacks that the private sectors have, we will continue to see slow progress. Now, there has been a number of efforts in doing reports to Congress to engage agencies within the government to do a better job. But once again, just creating reports for the sake of reports don't get the job done. Matter of fact, one of the things I oftentimes hear complaints from government specialists is the fact that they're spending so much time trying to answer a report, they can't actually get around to getting the job done.
Now, looking at the higher level activity that's been going on, the Department of Homeland Security has done a lot of restructuring of its cybersecurity division in the last year and a half. Talk about some of the changes and particularly areas where you think DHS is moving in the right direction and where you think there may be some more room for improvement.
Yeah, well, first I have to commend everybody that's taken on that task, because I know as I was leaving the White House and at the time National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice asked me if I'd be willing to go over with Tom Ridge and over to Homeland Security, and Tom also made the offer to me. As I was talking with people about going over to Homeland Security, they were really hesitant and said, listen, that place is really going to be a difficult place to work in for the next X amount of years, just like the Department of Defense was when it was consolidated, and therefore it's probably not going to be a fun place to work. And my response has been traditionally, well, if you were to go with your level of expertise and your knowledge to go over there, it would make it that much easier. So consequently, the people that are there now have got a tremendous challenge to do. They're working very hard at it. But as we go through round three of reorganization taking place, as the secretary refines everything that's going out there, it will better adjust to what the needs of the country are. Now, bear in mind, that was set up as almost a reaction into the events of September 11th. Mm-hmm. So the circumstances that we viewed and the way we viewed the nation and Homeland Security at that time has changed over the past 6 years or so. So consequently, changes are not unexpected. We're always looking to fine-tune things. Now, specifically what's been done, I think one of the most important things is it was approved to appoint an Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Telecommunications. And that was key in two points. One, it raises the level of authority and raises the level of visibility of that position within a department, which sends a clear message to the private sector that this is an important issue from the government's perspective. The second thing it does, and this is something that people don't talk about very much, is it starts to bring that convergence of telecommunications and cybersecurity, or in this case, IT technologies together. It brings them closer together than they ever have been before. Because there has indeed in the past been a focus on telecommunications, but now we're seeing as those things converge, we need to have a centralized focus on it. And that's been a big boon to our society and way of life.
Again, Howard Schmidt. And that does it for Security Wire Weekly. The latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you can always catch our Security Wire Weekly podcasts featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Again, I'm Bill Brenner. Thanks for listening.